I call this Wednesday, May 8th, 2019, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. I am Vice Chairman Jeff Olson. I'll be presiding over this meeting tonight. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Williams?
Here.
Juarez?
Here.
Markham?
Here.
Olson?
Here.
Vineyard?
Here.
Parker is absent.
Are there any questions or amendments to the previous meeting minutes? May I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the Wednesday, April 10th, 2019, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting?
So moved. Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Juarez?
Present.
Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Thank you.
It's approved. Are there any citizen comments from the public tonight regarding a topic not on the agenda? There will be a presentation done during the public hearing. Thank you. Seeing as there are no comments from the public about issues not on tonight's agenda, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. There is one public hearing scheduled for tonight's Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. The purpose of this hearing is to invite testimony from members of the public regarding the proposed request that is being considered before this commission tonight. Public testimony from persons present who wish to speak may be for or against the requests, or to ask questions of the petitioner regarding their request being heard. Those persons wishing to testify are asked to speak clearly, one at a time, and state your name and who you represent, if anyone at all. You are also asked to sign in at the podium. If you plan to speak during tonight's public hearing as a petitioner or as a member of the public, right now, please stand, raise your right hand, and repeat after me. So this is basically, if anybody's going to talk tonight, you need to stand up and swear that they'll tell the truth. Please repeat after me. I.
I.
Then state your name.
Roger Bauer.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That the testimony I will present at this hearing.
That the testimony I am about to present at this meeting.
Is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Thank you. The order for receiving testimony during the public hearing will be as follows. The petitioner will make his presentation. Those who wish to speak in favor of the presentation can speak, and then those who wish to speak in opposition to the presentation can speak. May I have a motion, please, to open the public hearing on petition number PZC 2019-10.
So moved. Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Juarez?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
And Williams?
Yes.
The public hearing up for discussion tonight is the following. PZC 2019-10, Roger S. Bauer, on behalf of Morton Buildings Incorporated petitioner, has filed an application with the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, requesting rezoning classification. The real property is located along Commercial Drive, northwest of Boomba Boulevard and the Commercial Drive intersection. The petitioner is requesting rezoning approval from B3 General Business to M1 Limited Manufacturing District. Is the petitioner of PZC 2019-10 present and prepared to make his presentation of the proposed request? By all means. Stand at the podium. Oh, that's fine. You can roll.
Like I mentioned, my name is Roger Bauer with Morton Buildings. I am the property and asset manager for our company. What we're proposing for the Yorkville Commercial Drive development is a new construction center for our company. It's one of the first that we've built in quite a few years. This is part of a 6 to 10 year redevelopment plan throughout the country. There's been a lot of effort that's been put into this to make sure that we're doing this at the right locations. And I will say this has probably been a year and a half of work gone into this to identify Yorkville, Illinois as the right place to do business. A lot of people besides me that worked on all of this to get it put together. And we landed on these two lots, lot 14 and 15. Lot 14 was zoned correctly, lot 15 was not. Normally when we build a new construction center, it is done on about an acre and a half to 2 acres of land. Combined, these two lots are about 2 acres, a little over 2 acres. So it fits the footprint that we do very well. And one thing that we did that we don't normally do is we added a second driveway on that curve because of the curve and not to inhibit traffic into just so we can get material deliveries if we have any and or UPS trucks, whatever, that they can go in and not disrupt traffic flow. And for our construction crews when they come in, so that they can just go in the one driveway and just go right in to the into the construction center warehouse and not disrupt the office operations and stuff. This facility is going to be built for four construction crews, a special operator of equipment that will be in one of the bays as well, and it's built for four sales representatives and one construction center administrator. Like I said, this is a big deal for our company, so we're going to do this in the right way. It'll be announced through the paper. We'll be working with the city of Yorkville for a grand opening. This is going to be a pretty heralded event, and we're doing everything that we can to do it right. And I met with the architectural board over in the development about 3 weeks ago, and they gave me their approval because I went through a presentation with them as well to try to explain to them what we were doing. And they said that it fit very well into what they were wanting to do in that development. Go through kind of the interior fit out of the building. This is the office operations. We are working with Steelcase because we're trying to brand everything that we do to match our corporate office in Morton, Illinois. So as we do these, they'll be consistent throughout the country as far as the looks, the interior fit outs, and all of that, because we want it to represent who we are. And also the community. So we want to represent the community. I mean, Morton Buildings is a 110-year-old company. I'm sure some of you have heard of us, but we, as of 2 years ago today, we are an employee-owned company, 100% employee-owned. I've worked for Morton Buildings for 42 years this month. So it's pretty proud of who we are. This will be the front office. As you walk in, there's a reception area. We're just trying to go for a sleek design. The conference room and sales offices, and another small conference room, another sales area, and then just an overall look at that sales area, and then some other in a file room. And then a crew operations room, just kind of where they go to set up shop too. So and that's an overview of the lot. It's the one on the curve, those two lines that are together. That's pretty poor picture, but I know that that's in your pack too.
Roger, do you have a picture of the outside rendering of the building? That got cut off our packet.
This is the outside. we're using what is called a low sheen. This is a steel clad, the warehouse is steel clad, but we're using a low sheen product. It's a brand new product. So you're not gonna get the glare or the, or any of the ghosting through product that's behind it, won't telegraph. So it'll look pretty clean, really clean actually. And then we're going with a weathered gray exterior cladding on this warehouse, but it's got a texture to it, so it doesn't look like a traditional steel panel. And then the office area will all be hardy siding, and then the vestibule and all of that will be, columns will be wrapped in stone, and then it'll have a stone wainscot around the office as well.
What's the roof?
The roof is steel.
Steel.
Yeah. And it's a low sheen steel. We're just trying to soften our, this is the way we're gonna do all of them, is this type of design. The one in Yorkville, because I was at that city council meeting last night, the Yorkville Center is gonna be a little bit, Champaign Center is gonna be a little bit different in orientation of the property, but the same design. And then I've also got one going in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, where I'm from. So we've got quite a bit going on. But this, and next year there'll be 4 to 5 more that'll go up in different locations in the country.
Can I ask a question now?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Well, if you have to ask a question, then we need to come up to the podium and sign in.
Oh, okay.
I need to swear in too.
Yes.
Yeah.
We need to swear in too if you're gonna ask questions.
She's signed in here.
She's in there? Okay, you're already signed in. But we do need to swear in, so please repeat after me. I. Can you say your name, please? Thank you. Do solemnly swear. Thank you. That the testimony I will present at this hearing. Is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Thank you. All right, go ahead.
Okay, my question is, this hearing is because of the rezoning.
Yes.
Now, you presented what's going to be the new construction structure. Could you clarify to me, without rezoning, what it would be looking like?
Yeah, I
didn't
get that.
Okay. This hearing is for rezoning, right? Mm-hmm. And you just presented the new construction structure. Mm-hmm. My question is, without applying for rezoning, what it will limit you from this being constructed?
It would really limit the site. This one lot was too tight. And one lot is correctly zoned, but one lot is not. It actually, in 1995, was zoned correctly. And then it reverted back after that expired, then it reverted back to the original R3 zoning. And all we're requesting is that lot 15 gets rezoned back to the M1, like lot 14 is.
I can help clarify too, which I cover in my report. The whole development, the commercial drive, that whole area is a planned unit development, and it was annexed with an annexation agreement in 1995. There are certain parts that were R2, B3, and M1. R2 is actually Caledonia and the subdivision behind it. And then this area was split into B3 and M1, and some of the front properties that front 47 are mostly B3, and the back properties are M1. And what ended up happening is 2015, the annexation agreement expired, so the zoning that was set on that was set permanent. So the parcel on the west is M1, the parcel on the east, the actual thing with the curve, is B3. Their proposed use of what they want to do here is permitted in an M1 district, but not in a B3. And as he stated, the one lot was a little too tight, so they have both lots and they wanted to put it on all one. So they're asking for a rezone to the M1.
Okay, now with this change, the areas of M1 in that area, I assume the total number of square feet will increase. How would that impact the infrastructure in terms of sewage, the water flow?
So again, as a planned unit development, everything like that has been planned for with an appropriate scale to this type of development. And what he's asking for is very common. As a M1 is limited manufacturing, M2 is general. M2 is going to have more of your heavy industrial uses, manufacturing. This is considered a very light use and appropriate for this area. Hence it was M1 and B3. Those types of uses. So the fact of the matter is, these two lots are adjacent and it would be very appropriate for this setting. Very similarly, the property across the street that actually fronts 47, it's a storage facility, was zoned B3 and they were rezoned M1 back in 2015.
Now, would you please give me some detail? What I heard from you was, one building is for administration and the other one is for warehouse. Are there going to be any of the so-called light manufacturing?
No, there'll be no manufacturing in this facility. All the warehouse is just commercial vehicle storage. All it is for is our crew trucks. When they get done building during the day at a job site, wherever they are at, then they'll come back and park their vehicles inside the building. That is it.
Your materials are delivered to the site, correct?
All materials are delivered to the job site. There may be, I mentioned that we put in two driveways. On occasion, we'll take delivery of material that they have to, like if they're short of material on a job site, or if they have a customer that requests some material at the construction center, it's delivered to the construction center, and then they can pick it up. Very small amounts. Those are delivered by semi, so we bring them, that's why we put the other driveway in, so that they could just come in, offload, and leave. And there will be a storage area in the back of the building. That's one of the reasons why the one lot was too tight. We wanted both, because I'm going to put in a fenced-in area for excessive material that the crews might bring back, or things that are delivered. It'll always be inside of a 6-foot fence. There'll be no material stored outside, because as we do these footprints, I don't want any material or equipment outside. I'm building them big enough so that they can just bring their trucks in, get in their vehicles and go. I want things to look very nice inside of a development. I don't like on-site, but that's just the way I am.
There will be no sort of construction or setup on the site.
It's for a construction operation. It's just their home base when they leave out of the
freer area.
They leave out at 6:30. They get back home at night. It's 5:30, 6 o'clock.
It's one of the best situations.
So you're not going to be stamping any panels there or anything?
No, this is not just a come and go. Absolutely nothing inside.
Despite the fact that you're referred to as a manufacturing district, you're not really making any.
One of the biggest reasons that we chose these two lots, if you do an aerial view of it, which I did down in Champaign, we met, I looked at the aerial view of these lots, and I said right then and there that I wanted them, because that retention pond that's out front gives me an unobstructed view to the highway. My sign can go out front, and everybody can see that beautiful building.
Do you already own the properties, or do you just have a contract about it?
It's all contingent on these hearings. So.
Thank you.
Purchases.
Anything else?
Is there anyone who wishes to speak in favor of the request? Any questions from the commissioner or the petitioner that we didn't already cover?
Okay.
We need to go over the findings of fact, correct, and it's rezoning.
Right, so just ask if you would like his finding of facts that they submitted with their petition to be entered into the record.
So you submitted some questions and or answers to questions. Would you like your answers to the questions, the finding of facts, questions entered into the record for tonight's public hearing? Okay, thank you. Since all the public testimony regarding these petitions have been taken, may I have a motion to close the taking of testimony and this public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Perez?
Yes.
Public hearing portion of tonight's meeting is closed. Moves us on to unfinished business. We have none. Seeing as there are no items on our unfinished business, we move to new business. Jason, please present your memo.
So we won't reread it, but the new business is the Morton rezone request. I attached a memo into the packet. We already just went over a couple things, but I'll finish it out. Like I said, this was zone B3. The item next to it is M1. It's very similar to a case we had in 2015 of a B3 property turning to the M1. Just for the fact that in our zoning code, the land use that they're requesting, it fits in with this area. It just so happens when it expired that it was zone B3. Especially because it's tucked back, but it's not even on 47. It's pretty acceptable for an M1 use, especially since it's a very light use of the property. Site analysis going around, it's all M1 and B3 around it. Also very similar uses with the light trucking and light things coming in off of Commercial Drive. Our comprehensive plan calls for this area, these two parcels actually be for light general industrial. So it is consistent with our comp plan moving forward that the M1 zone is consistent with the general industrial. The petitioner set a proposed concept site plan. While not necessary for a rezone, it was very nice to kind of get an idea of what they're thinking of and what they're going to be. No matter what, they're going to have to comply with our codes and our standards appearance code. They're going to meet our appearance code for industrial. I can tell that right now. But when they submit a building permit and plans, that'll all be checked. So, and stormwater runoff, engineering plans, everything will be reviewed. And I just wanted to make a note, again, with landscaping, they'll have to follow our landscape code. And with the outdoor storage, we do actually require any outdoor storage in the M1 district has to be closed by a fence. So it wouldn't be an option even. It will have to be enclosed by an opaque fence at least high enough to cover everything. It's not on their plans to have outdoor storage, but if there is, they would be required to have a fence. We attached the finding of facts, which they submitted in the public record, which are the extent of what you guys should review for the rezoning. And that's it. Staff's just generally positive on this as it meets our comprehensive plan. Their adjacent properties, M1, and the light use of the property seems consistent with the area.
Anybody have any questions for Jason?
No.
Then we should go over the findings of fact. If you want to follow along on your packet, it's the third page under the memorandum, so maybe 20 pages in. Section 10-4-10-B of the sitting zoning ordinance establishes criteria for findings of fact relating to rezoning requests. No rezoning shall be recommended by the Planning and Zoning Commission without each of the following considered. One, the existing uses and zoning of nearby property, which is consistent. The extent to which the property values are diminished by the particular zoning restrictions. I would argue they are increased by putting this building in. The extent to which the destruction of property values of plaintiff promotes the health, safety, and morals or general welfare of the public. No issue there. The relative gain to the public as compared to the hardship imposed upon the individual property owner. There is no gain. The hardship is he can't build it. We want that. The sustainability of the subject property for the zoned purpose, that's correct. The length of time the property has been vacant is zoned, considered in the context of land development of the area in the vicinity of subject property. Nothing has been built there in however long it's been open, 25 years. The community need for the proposed use, I would say we'd be very lucky to have this building in town. The care to which the community has undertaken to plan its land use development. Terrific planners. Any comments, concerns?
Me?
May I have a motion to approve the petition, PZC 2019-10, requested rezoning classification?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Someone has to read the motion.
Ooh. Who seconded it? Always, always.
Second.
Sorry.
In consideration of testimony presented during a public hearing on May 8, 2019, and approval of the findings of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council of a request for a map amendment to rezone the property stated in the staff memorandum dated April 30, 2019, from B3 General Business District to M1 Limited Manufacturing District.
Thank you. Now, may I now have a roll call vote on the motion?
Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Horace?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Motion is approved. Additional business. Randy is absent today. Randy's also stepping down from the Planning and Zoning Commission. Yes. Randy, I thought was terrific, and I want to say something that could be entered in maybe so that Randy, get to Randy. I think that Randy was not only a fantastic chairman who was unflappable when leading these meetings, but he's also a fantastic mediator and consensus builder. I think it will be a very long time before somebody as smooth as Randy is sitting in this chair leading the meetings again, and I think he'll be very missed.
I'll cover the other additional business. Sure. Council action updates. The mile and a half review of the rezone from last time was approved, no objections by the City Council. And the Grand Reserve replat was also approved by City Council. And then just quickly, yes, we are down to these five members. We're hoping to get two new appointments when the new mayor is set in. It'll be up to him to select two new appointments. So.
When is that, by the way?
May 14th is, so it's the first City Council meeting of May, which is the 14th, but it is up to them. It is not on the schedule for the 14th for appointments, but in the future it will be. So appreciate you five staying on because we need four of you at every meeting now. So,
so you'd like an RSVP in a timely manner then, you understand?
Fairly.
Okay, got it.
And that's it.
Seeing as there is nothing further on the agenda tonight, may I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
All those in favor say yes.
Yes. Yes.
All those opposed say no. Meeting is adjourned. 7:26.